Welcome to Follow the Medical Record, where healthcare experts give insights into the increasing importance of following a patient's medical record through the health ecosystem with compliance, privacy, security, and efficiency front and center. This podcast is brought to you by MRO and hosted by Don Hardwick, Senior Vice President of Client Relations at MRO. Don has been in the health information management industry for over 40 years and has extensive knowledge of how medical records make their way through the healthcare ecosystem. At MRO, Don is responsible for strategic client engagement programs and overall client satisfaction. To hear from all of MRO's industry experts, be sure to visit mrocorp.com for additional content and to sign up for our monthly e-newsletter. Over to you, Don.
This is your host, Don Hardwick. Thank you for listening to Follow the Medical Record. Follow us on Twitter at MROCORP and check us out on MRO's website at mrocorp.com. And finally, connect with me on LinkedIn. Today, we're going to do something a little bit different. I recently had the pleasure of being a guest on the Tate Chronicles, a Healthcare Now radio show where host Jim Tate discusses healthcare technology and potential beneficial disruptions to healthcare. Jim and I discussed the release of information industry in general, and then specifically the legal owner of the medical record, types of authorizations to obtain medical records, electronic record access, and more. I hope you enjoy our discussion.
I'm really pleased today. My guest is Don Hardwick. Don is the Senior Vice President for Client Relations at MRO. MRO is the acknowledged leader in providing release of information solutions to the healthcare domain. And because of that, obviously, the primary focus of Don's career has been centered around issues related to the release of information for hospitals and physician practices. Don's also a colleague. He's a host of the podcast Follow the Medical Records, which can be located at healthcarenowradio.com. Don, welcome to the Tate Chronicles.
Thanks, Jim. I appreciate that. It's nice to be on your show today. I really am thankful that you've asked me to join you.
Well, thanks for that. You know, Don, the issue of the request and delivery of medical records seems fairly straightforward, but I know it's not as easy as it first appears. So let's start with the basics. Who is the legal owner of the patient's medical record? I've heard that debated my entire career. Who's the legal owner of the record?
Very good question, Jim, and one that has a certain perception by the community, both in the healthcare field as well as patients and different requesters, is actually that question is, who does that information actually belong to, mm-hmm. and under what circumstances they can get that information, or their circumstances around not being able to get that information. So it's been a question ever since I started into this business a number of years ago, and still goes on today. So just to kind of give you a background, the evolution of the medical record has gone through many phases through the years. Primarily started off, of course, as paper-generated documentation. And then in that paper environment, it was fairly clear is that the hospitals or healthcare practices owned that document itself. But from a practical and from a legal position, the patient is the owner of that healthcare information that's contained within that document. So there's rights on both sides of that equation. And that has transitioned through the years into the electronic environment. The healthcare providers, hospitals or physicians, typically have that information today residing in some electronic form, from radiology, where there are radiology images, to actual documentation, where information is gathered during a patient's encounter in the healthcare environment, so that that information is, again, owned, or the documentation of that is owned and housed in the provider's systems. However, the patient still has ownership of that information. So, in essence, just to help clear up some of the ambiguity that's in the community, meaning both on the patient side or the consumer side, as well as the provider side, there's been documentation outlined in various legislative issues through the years to help clarify some of this by giving rights to the patients to be able to obtain their information in a format that they desire, provided that the health institution can produce it in that medium. And there's, of course, today, there's emails, there's CDs, there's, you know, still generating paper for the consumer. So in essence, well, that was kind of, Jim, that was kind of a long answer to a short question. But both parties actually own some phase of that documentation today, both the provider as well as the patient. So there has been a push through various legislative efforts to give patients that right to get information. Now, it may not be, it doesn't necessarily have to be free. There is, you know, a consumption of labor and expense and so forth that goes along with the housing and reproduction. But in general, patients can get their information. They have the right to that information in a medium that the facility can produce it in, and that is convenient for, you know, consumption on the patient side.
You know, one of the things, Don, I'm aware of is, and I'm sure everybody who's listening to this has experienced, is the first time you may go to a provider or see a new doctor, or you sign some a bunch of papers, either electronically or with a physical pen. And one of those usually has to do with consent or authorization to release records. That release, of course, has to do with maybe treatment, but it also gives them the authority to release records for billing. Everybody wants to make sure they get paid and they don't get, you know, that their insurance company covers them. So they're given authorization for that kind of portion, at least of their medical records. But I guess there's all kind of reasons for release of medical records beyond treatment and billing. I guess, you know, you get into the legal domain, medical records get involved there. So I imagine there's a multitude of reasons that these medical records, there might be a need for them to be released or request for them to be released.
Correct. And there are numerous reasons. You hit on a few of them here. And I would say that the few that you did hit on, treatment is probably one of the top categories of the need for that information, for continuation of care, for being able to continue in some form with a specialist, perhaps, that that information needs to be provided to. That's probably one of the bigger areas. Then there are, if you use that one sort of at the top of the pyramid, then as you cascade down that pyramid, there are, as you said a minute ago, there's billing purposes. because the insurance companies that typically are the responsible payers need to be able to justify what treatment they're paying for. And there are different methodologies of how hospitals and practitioners get paid based on diagnoses and the consumption of resources. Just as an example, if you come in with, you know, a broken arm, I'm just going to oversimplify this. You don't get admitted for a broken arm, but if you did for some reason, you would consume different resources at that facility and generally a different length of stay than someone that came in with a heart attack. Just as an example, they would typically consume more resources. And it's not just days in the hospital overnight, but all of the peripheral departments and tests and lab tests and radiology and pulmonology and so forth that is involved overall in the scope of care for that individual patient, that consumption of resources and how hospitals are paid in that situation of how do we distinguish other than just an overnight stay, 5 days for this one consumes more resources than 5 days of another diagnosis. So there are different ways that the payers end up compensating the facilities for that consumption of resources. So as a result, they take that information from the medical record and they analyze that information based on the consumption of those resources as it relates to, in many cases today, it's called a diagnostic related encounter here, where they'll take those diagnoses and they apply a fee that's generally associated with it. So they will analyze that record, and then they're also analyzing to make sure that they have not only the consumption of those resources accurate so that they can reimburse the facility, or did the treatment entail items or things that's not really related to that diagnosis? Did they over prescribe certain tests and groups to be involved in that patient's treatment that's not really justified for the diagnosis? So it's a balance. It's a balance in the payment structure to make sure that what the patient came in for was justified for that stay, as well as monitoring against things that are not justified. Those are two of the primary ones. And then you also mentioned legal and in a situation where somebody's in an accident and there's going to be a liability side of that equation, the legal community out there on behalf of that patient will request those records. Now kind of following the talk track of what kind of release forms or forms, you know, do the patients have to fill out. Right. In order for a company like us to disclose that information correctly, which just means that, in essence, we're trying to protect the rights of the patient not to disclose information incorrectly, and that it's only being disclosed for the betterment of that patient, okay? So we require, and every hospital, every provider does require a release of information form, is what it's typically referred to as, or a disclosure form And those forms come in multiple shapes and sizes. Generally, a patient or their appropriate family member. Sometimes, unfortunately, it is on behalf of a deceased patient where the executor or the executrix has the ability to, you know, obtain that information. But in general, that's more of a smaller percentage of the population of requests out there. It generally is from a patient that wants that information either for themselves or in one of the categories that we're talking about. Legal, obviously, is one of them. And if that's the case, every attorney's office that practices personal injury law will have forms that they require the patient to sign so that they can obtain the records from various sources. And so that they get a complete picture of the healthcare delivery that was provided in that in the case of a legal case on behalf of the patient. So in the absence of something like that, you can Google, you know, release of information forms, and generally they're acceptable across the country by every healthcare provider or hospital in this case. So they would complete that form, and that is, with few exceptions, that is about the only way that a company such as ours or a healthcare provider, if they're doing the service themselves, can release a record. There are very few circumstances in which we would release information about a patient in any form without the consent of that patient. Outside of those few areas, there are all kinds of needs out in the marketplace for medical information. There's disability claims where someone's been injured. They're trying to get disability insurance or payment to go on disability. Mm-hmm. That is another major requester of information. Sure. Again, it's at the behest of the patient themselves. But there's a ton of different reasons out there that we supply information, legitimately, of course, supply information to assist the patients.
Let me just mention, for those who are just coming aboard and have just joined us recently, this is Jim Tate. You're listening to the Tate Chronicles. My guest today is Don Harwick, and the topic is the release of medical records. We touched on a little earlier, Don, the concept of electronic health records. And one of the goals of electronic health records has been interoperability. Of course, in the world of paper medical records, if somebody wanted those, a copy of the records, a release of their records, they'd have to be copied and mailed or picked up as a very physical thing. And then a few years back, electronic health records started to utilize patient portals where patients could, among other things, access portions of their medical record or at least lists of their medications and allergies and things like that. But we are now coming up against this concept where we're used to the release of medical records, but that's an active term, like the holder of those records releases them upon request. But the new certification standards around the release of access to medical records through API and using the FHIR standard, if a patient gives permission to a certain third party, like an app or a Fitbit or something like that, that application can actually come in and retrieve a portion of the medical records without there having to be any action on the provider's part. And so, that whole concept of technology and interoperability related to it certainly is taking us to a place where we've never been before as far as the release of data, access to that data, who can get to that data, those kind of things. But one question that always comes up is state versus federal regulations around these things. Does the overall federal regulations kind of trump anything a state would do in terms of access to medical records?
Well, yes, not necessarily. There is a concept here of which is more stringent, the federal guidelines or the state guidelines. And the more stringent the guidelines, either federal or state, trumps. So it's not necessarily one or the other. In general, it depends on the guidelines that were that are established or were established by either party, federal or state, and whichever is more stringent. And the concept there is the protection of the patient's information, that it is private, and as a private set of documentation in some whatever form that is, electronic or paper, whatever form that that document resides in, that it is, it contains the private information of that individual. And so as a result, the objective of this in following the more stringent provides a greater level of protection for that private information on behalf of the patient. So it does not stipulate one or the other to trump each other, but in general, but in terms of the regulatory data items, if you will, that govern that information. On interoperability, you're right. We are in a state of evolution, if you will, from, you know, that record being housed and available only in a certain way, so that other organizations, if you look at interoperability, I like to think of it sort of as a business-to-business arrangement. The patients, the providers, in many cases, are still going to need to authorize, from a patient to authorize that request, and for the recipient of that information to have been a known entity of that patient, and that's the reason that it's being directed to them. The interoperability rule, I like to think of it in its broader sense, is a business-to-business arrangement where you are setting up, you know, sort of connectivity between business to business.
Sure.
So it is moving in that direction. It's not completely integrated like you would think. If you want to go on the internet, Google something, you can find just a whole bunch of information. But it's not available. That cross-pollination between every healthcare organization in the country isn't there. Maybe one day we'll get there. I doubt it'll be in my lifetime, but maybe we'll get there one day. And the objective, of course, is so that you reduce the consumption of resources that the patient or the provider, the payer has to cover because of duplication of tests and that type of thing. So the intent here is to provide the patient with the best care possible in general, and that those providers that are treating the patients have that information readily available. That ultimately is kind of where we would like to have utopia. We are in the very I would say, very beginnings of that whole concept.
Mm-hmm.
So in essence, for your listeners who very well are consumers out there of healthcare resources and have need for information, they're still today going to need to complete an authorization allowing a facility to disclose that information. And you're right, because people today, a big stimulus of the way we're addressing information and consumption of resources and so forth today was really stimulated by the whole COVID situation. All of a sudden, everybody, instead of being able to go to the store, you couldn't go to the store. So you went online and you ordered products and you had them shipped to your door.
Right. Sure. And
it was because you couldn't get out into the community. It's not favorable for you to be exposed. So the same concept is occurring in the healthcare business. There are electronic records systems that are used by providers, hospitals, and physicians that you are now able to go online, complete some basic information to guarantee that you are who you are as a patient, and then order your records right online. And so you're absolutely correct. That is the direction that we're going in, ushered in by a big stimulus of the COVID era of time. We're still kind of on the tail end of that, it seems like. And so consumers out there, being patients and others, are very much used to 2 years, 2.5 years into this current state of of affairs in the world, to ordering and receiving almost any product or service that you need.
Right.
So yeah. In healthcare, not much different. Same type of process. It's not totally there yet. It's getting there, but it's not.
The banking system has done it. I can go to any bank's ATM and get money out of my account. And to me, that's the model of kind of where we want to go. Don, it's kind of hard to believe, but our time is almost totally elapsed here today. To our listeners, to find out more about the work that Don is doing and MRO is doing, you can go to MRO Corp. MROCORP.com. To our listeners, thanks for joining me on this episode of Tate Chronicles. I offer a special salute and thanks to my guest today, Don Harwick of MRO, who's also the host of the podcast, Follow the Medical Record. Don, thanks for coming aboard today.
Jim, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. The time did get away from us. Maybe we'll have to do a follow-up sometime.
I want to, for sure.
For more insight on a patient's medical record through the health ecosystem, visit our show's page on MROCORP.com and be sure to explore additional resources and thought leadership. You can also check out our program page on healthcarenowradio.com. Finally, be sure to connect with us on Twitter at MROCORP. Until we talk again, I'm Don Hardwick, your host. Good day.